This next story comes from Green Prints number 11, the autumn of 1992. It's written by Richard Goodman. Richard's a landscaper in New York City. In fact, I have a delightful story from him about that experience coming up hopefully in this summer issue of 2006. I'm looking forward to it. But meanwhile, this is about a summer he spent in a French village way back in 1980 sometime, and he wrote a book about it called French Dirt, published by Algonquin Books. It's a delightful little book. I like to run excerpts from books in the Green Prints whenever I can so you get a taste of them. So now you're going to get a taste from French Dirt, a little excerpt called
Parlez-vous Tomatoes?
I saw Mr. Noyer out of the corner of my eye approaching me. It was a warm day in mid-June. The sun splashed down on the town square. I was in the midst of loading my car with my hoe, rake, shovel, and other tools, getting ready to go to the garden.
Richard,
Monsieur Noyer said when he reached me.
And the garden, how goes it?
Very well. I'm working hard.
And your tomatoes? Do you have any tomatoes yet?
No, not yet. I smiled at his little dig. It was June, much too early to have tomatoes. No tomatoes yet. But the plants look good. They're growing. He raised his hand, a thick farmer's paw, and tipped back his hat. This 60-plus-year-old French farmer was acknowledged to be St. Sebastian's best gardener. I, though, was just an American from New York, spending a year in this French village and growing my first vegetable garden.
Have you treated your tomato plants?
No. Do I have to?
You haven't treated your tomato plants with sulfur?
Sulfur?
Sulfur, yes.
What's that for? Insects?
No, no. The treatment is for disease.
Oh.
You see, Richard, gardening is an art. An art.
He walked off. I was left standing there in the empty square, full of doubts. Doubts about my tomato plants. This wasn't the first time we had talked about my tomatoes. Each time we did, it made me nervous. There is usually something slightly cautionary in Monsieur Noyer's tone. He was never malicious, but he acted as if he knew something I didn't. Of course, since I knew almost nothing, it didn't take much effort to make me feel that way. I think he was just probably suspicious that I, as an American, could be serious about gardening, which to him was indeed a serious matter. For some reason, everyone in the village saw tomatoes as the benchmark for determining the success of my garden, or any garden. Everyone in St. Sebastian who asked about my garden inevitably asked me about my tomatoes.
Hey, Richard, how many tomato plants did you plant? 20? All hybrids? Well, I don't know. You may get a few. Richard, how far apart did you plant your tomatoes? Oh, really? Richard, just remember, if your tomatoes don't grow, you can have some of ours. We'll have plenty.
Why tomatoes? I suppose because tomatoes are the one thing any serious gardener is expected to grow. You must have tomatoes if you have a summer garden here. Fat, nearly obese, crimson things that have a wonderful weight in the hand. Dark, ripe tomatoes that reek with the sun, heat, and land. Of course, tomatoes! Believe me, I watch my tomato plants well. I pluck tiny errant sprouts from the crotches of the stalks. I attach the vines to my bamboo at regular intervals, careful not to cut off the circulation with too tight a knot. I grated, dug up the earth around the plants to make it easier for them to breathe and accept water. I even treated them with sulfur, as Monsieur Noyer said I should. In late June, a week or so after my conversation with Monsieur Noyer, I drove my car one morning to the garden to do some weeding and grading. The morning air was sweet and cool. I had my bucket and tools with me, the windows open. I passed by farmers on their way to and from the vineyards. I reached the familiar little bridge and turned off the road onto the lane next to the vineyard. I stopped at my usual place, took out my tools, and started walking. I reached my garden and blinked my eyes. Every one of my 20 tomato plants had a ripe red tomato there at its base. I couldn't believe it. I had tomatoes. You could see them. It was a miracle. I shouted, "Tomatoes!" in the air. Then I put my bucket down and ran over to the far side of the garden where all the tomato plants were. I had tomatoes in June. As I came closer, though, something inside me started doubting. "Isn't it a bit odd," a small voice inside me said, "that every one of the 20 plants has produced a single ripe tomato, and only one, and that each tomato is in exactly the same place?" Suddenly, I realized someone had put them all there. I laughed. I laughed so hard I nearly fell down. What a trick! I got to the plants, and yes, it was true. Someone had obviously gone to the store, bought 20 ripe tomatoes, from Spain no doubt, and placed them neatly one by one at the base of each of my plants. America needs help, bad, with his tomatoes. I looked around quickly to see if the culprit was there, hiding behind a bush, stifling a laugh. No, I was alone. As I looked around, though, I saw there was more to this. That same person had placed 10 cans of string beans on each side of my bean plants. I looked at those cans with their labels displaying cut, juicy string beans, and I laughed again. This was amazingly, heroically funny. This was truly genius. I didn't touch a thing. I went back to St. Sebastian, found Iggy, and told her we had to go to the garden, now. Then I showed her. She was just as fooled as I was for a minute. I could tell by her eyes. Then she walked closer and saw the setup.
"Nu zeg,"
she said in Dutch. "Now say." She automatically reverted to Dutch when something took her by surprise. Then she laughed. We speculated as to who had done it. We could only think of one name.
Eugene,
we both said at once. Eugene was an habitual and determined trickster. But Eugene denied our accusations so convincingly, we decided it couldn't be him. We told the story to all the villagers we saw and asked them if they knew who had done it. No one knew. I even asked Alban Polge, the mayor, if he had any ideas about this, but he shook his head, seriously, no. He offered to make an inquiry over the loudspeaker atop the town hall at noon, the customary time for announcements. Then he produced a slight smile. The mayor had a dry sense of humor. A little later, still in the dark as to who had done this, I saw Monsieur Noyer. I was in front of the house with Iggy, unloading the car when I saw him approach. I paused and waited for him to arrive.
Richard, in your garden, how goes it?
Beautiful, Monsieur Noyer, I said almost routinely. Then something struck me like a thunderbolt. I waited a beat. I've got tomatoes, I said to him. Ripe tomatoes, now. He blinked. Then he had such a childlike look of open disappointment, I was almost sorry I'd said it.
Tomatoes, you say? Ripe?
Absolutely. And not just one, 20 of them.
Oh, 20? Really? Very good.
He couldn't conceal on his face what this information meant to him. Iggy saw this. She nudged me in the ribs.
You've got to tell the truth,
she whispered forcefully to me in English. She nudged me again.
Now, just look at his face.
Do I have to? I thought. Oh, what a low character I am. But of course I told him. I told him it was all a joke someone had played on me, that in fact I didn't have any tomatoes, not even one. When he heard this, he shifted easily and quickly back to his familiar, commanding presence. Everything was all right again. The world was exactly as it should be. We finally found out who had done it. Laurent Imbert, the most unlikely person in the whole village. A calm, introverted man who, though very pleasant to us, never displayed much of a sense of humor, much less such an elaborate one. But we cornered him on the phone. When he was still good-naturedly denying he had placed the tomatoes there, I said to him, "Well, if you didn't put them there, how did they get there?" He waited a long beat, his timing perfect. Then he said,
"Perhaps they are a new variety."